Hello and welcome to the Emerald City Video Podcast, and this is another new release wall episode.
Yes, it is.
We're going to be talking about The Foreigner, which apparently is based on a book called The Chinaman, which is a title they couldn't get into American theaters
for. Well, I think it was written in the 70s or something like that.
Yeah, kind of. It feels very much in the vein of Death Wish.
Yes.
So what do you think, first off?
I liked it. It felt so much like a solid action film from the 90s.
Yeah.
Down to the screeching music. Down to, I mean, not, I don't mean screeching and like, it hurts my ears, but down to the high wire, like, like it. And in fact, it reminded me so much of, okay, so it's not Patriot Games, it's the other.
Clear and Present Danger?
Yes. No. Actually, maybe it is Patriot Games. Which one is the one that has the IRA and Harrison Ford?
Oh. The one with Brad Pitt, The Devil's Own?
No. Tom Clancy.
There were so many IRA movies with Harrison Ford.
That's true. No, it's Patriot
Games.
Because Clear and Present Danger is the South America one.
Yeah.
And I hope I'm going the right way. Yes, I am. and so, but because down to the redheaded, I don't know if you remember that film, like there's the redheaded woman that he remembered, like just, it's the IRA, so it's bombing, and like, they're the evil, you know, characters, which, you know, one can argue.
Well, I mean,
it's
tough. I mean, we try not to spoil on the new release wall. There is a twist of sorts in this, and it's one of those twists that did you see it coming? Because I almost immediately they had a bit of conversation early on between Pierce Brosnan's character and his British counterpart.
Yeah,
and I was like, oh, so this is what's happening.
What's this twist? I mean. I just want to pause it, and
we'll say spoiler,
yeah.
And then we can try to edit.
I guess maybe it's not. I guess I just didn't.
The fact that he coordinated this in order to.
So. I mean, I kind of felt that it was implied, so I guess I didn't think spoiler.
Yeah.
Speaking of, we should get like a lighting thing for here.
That's true.
Since we're doing so many of these, but anyway.
But yeah, that one I thought, like, and again, like, I don't necessarily know that it was supposed to be a big spoiler.
Yeah.
But certainly, it's interesting. One of the things that happens in the film is that Jackie Chan's character essentially tracks down this high-ranking member of the British government who has ties to the IRA.
Yeah.
And who is now, as far as we all know, on the up and up and working to keep the peace.
Yeah, he was part of the peace accord. He was one of the members of the IRA that, like the political faction, he was a bomber before, a militant before, but now he's, used to be Sinn Féin.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Sarah, you're going to kill me on this Sarah case.
Yeah.
Also, she probably hate this film with a passion because it's an interesting just even the political end of the things like it's an interesting kind of remembrance of like it's kind of universal that it's just that the IRA was the bad there was no there's a little bit of like mentioning of the UK forces that would like go in and just fucking murder people it's interesting that it portrays it as a two-sided, which is interesting. I'm curious on, because a lot of Jackie Chan's films of late, he's very much, they're Chinese produced. Like, I think this one was clearly at least half Chinese produced. But then clearly with a wink and a nod, made for American markets, like the John Cusack one, and, oh my God, I just ran over something. And the terrible, I'm sorry, Matt Damon, terrible fucking Matt Damon film. Have you seen that one yet?
No, I bought it because my wife.
Wait,
really
did he actually produce that? I could be completely wrong and just say I don't think he produced that one. Now that
was Legendary. And all that is so probably he didn't because Legendary has.
Yeah, so
its own.
But these weird, but these new, like, Hollywood produced, Hollywood slash China, you know, Chinese.
Yeah, the co-productions that are designed to, and it's funny because you get movies like this that are essentially Chinese films that are made in English. Like, they're movies that are like what sells in the Chinese market. And then you have movies like Iron Man 3, where they made the movie, and it's very much an American movie, but they made it with Chinese money, and so they have, there's like a second cut of Iron Man 3 that was made just for the Chinese market, where they downplay all the, hey, the Mandarin who's coded in Chinese, even though he's British, is evil.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I really liked it. I thought, first of all, I thought that there was a huge missed opportunity for Jackie Chan to tell somebody to tell him I'm fucking coming. But,
yeah, it's very, it's definitely Taken slash the Limey.
Yeah.
I don't know, I doubt it's the Limey inspired. I mean,
no, probably not. Although it's Martin Campbell, and isn't he the guy who directed the Casino Royale and Green Lantern? Or am I misremembering? I'm pretty sure the guy who directed this is the same guy who directed the Casino Royale James Bond film, and then left the Bond franchise to do Green Lantern.
Yeah, that was a good decision.
Yeah, but so, but if so, I feel like Casino Royale is 100% a movie that was made with Soderbergh like in the back of your mind somewhere. So I mean, it's not entirely.
Well, it's the kind of like. It's action, but we're going to try to make it good.
Yeah.
As opposed to just action, like the last, you know.
I will say there was a lot of, like, there was a lot of humor in it, which helped to, like, because his story is just, like, terrible and depressing. Like, his, you know, teenage daughter gets murdered. And
by a terrorist bomb.
And so, like, there were moments in this, and I felt this way about it as well. There were moments of, like, levity where you didn't really expect them.
Yeah.
Like, a good example is the scene where there's a point where Jackie Chan's character is out in the woods, and there's a bunch of IRA guys who are trying to find him so that they can stop him from trying to do what he's doing.
Yeah.
And the, it keeps, I think it's because we're vibrating. But,
not in a good way.
But, yeah, so he sets up a bunch of booby traps, basically. And one guy, like, there's like a tripwire and a strategically placed log, and so the guy falls and he cracks his head and he presumably dies.
Yeah.
And Jackie Chan is under, like, a canopy or a tarp that's covered in leaves. And so, like, the guy falls and he dies, and then immediately, like, you just see the blanket pop up.
But I think that that's something, I mean, that's a point. I think that, I mean, because I felt like there was, like, some, like, branches that he fell into, but it's interesting because even though this is a much darker Jackie Chan film, it's still, it's dripping with Jackie Chan in a good way. Like, down, I mean, all the fight sequences, obviously, you couldn't change that, really. It's not the, and this is something, again, I mean, was it Every Portrait of Painting or whatever it
is?
Frame of Painting, thank you. That one where they actually talk about Jackie Chan's cuts and where he talks about it. It's half and half, which is just so kind of disappointing because one thing they talk about in this, in the Every Frame of Painting, the Jackie Chan kind of appreciation of action films, is that Hollywood films cut on the hit and you lose the oomph. And I feel like they did kind of half and half on this. I'm not quite sure whether that was like the. I feel like maybe there's a Jackie Chan edition of this film.
Yeah.
That's.
There's a.
Even more confusing, but still even more interesting.
I think part of it, too, is you have. There were some odd editing choices that were clearly made in order to try and be a little more stylistic and a little more.
The cut to black and the
There was a really jarring cut to black that lasted like a second too long and it felt like the movie had stopped.
Yeah.
And then there was also a scene where early in the movie he essentially decides that Pierce Brosnan's character can help him find the bombers.
Yeah.
And so the idea is
we have to get out of that. Sorry guys, on the focus.
But the idea is that you used to be a terrorist, so clearly you know who the terrorists are. And So he calls and calls and calls, and when the guy finally takes his call and doesn't take him seriously, he then goes to the guy's office to talk to him. And he brings, like, his own Fight Club kit of, like, groceries that wouldn't set any alarm bells off, but that when you put them all together, he can create, like, a bomb with them. So that when he's escorted out of the office, he then, like, sets off a bomb in the bathroom to prove the point that he's not going away.
Yeah.
And there was this weird moment where he's going into the toilet stall to set the bomb, and, like, he opens the stall, and it just cuts to him being inside the stall instead of, like, it didn't, there was no, like, creative reason that that made
sense. I mean,
sense
I felt like
me.
It was to quicken, it was obviously to quicken the pace. And now
but
that I'm
because they
about
only
it,
did it that one time.
No, but they did it when he was building the, it was the cut to black, like a quick cut to black. It was too long, but it was a quick cut to black, where he was building his kind of forest fort. His, I think they did it almost every time, which is also why it's confusing. He was, like, building something or working on something as if, like, to kind of do the chop, you know, like, chop editing of, like, this is
a
sequence.
Like a montage.
Yeah. But it's, like, it was... I think that during the forest thing, they did it twice. During in the bathroom, they only did it once.
I mean, I
and also
it just
was a
feels
big
like
jump
they didn't
cut,
do
like
it
he was outside and inside. Yeah.
one thing I will say is that this one, like, as soon as I saw that it was based on a book called The Chinaman, which, as we said, probably came out in the 70s or 80s, it made a lot more sense, because one of the things that, like, struck me in this is every, like, there were only two female characters in the entire movie that aren't wife, daughter, whatever.
Yeah.
Actually, no, there's three, because his partner at the restaurant, Jackie Chan's partner at the Chinese restaurant he owns, is actually a fairly developed character at the very beginning and the very end.
Yeah.
But in the middle of the movie, there's only two female characters, and both of them function exclusively to use sex to manipulate people so that they can work with the bad guys.
Yeah.
And it's like... it feels very much like a James Bond trope.
Yeah.
And it feels like something that, like, wouldn't really get made anymore in the way that it, like...
Yeah.
And again, it actually wasn't done badly in this.
Yeah.
Partially because it had that Patriot Games kind of feel where every single person in this movie existed in shades of gray, and every single person in this movie was trying to screw somebody else.
Yeah. Either literally or metaphorically. But yes.
But, so, it kind of felt like, okay, yeah, it's a little, that they use sex for it. They actually lampshaded it a little bit with one of the characters being like, ugh, I need a shower now. I can't believe you made me do this. Next time we're going to do a gay guy.
Even though she, anyway. Yeah. That's confusing upon itself because there's another thing going on.
Well, I think the thing is she does it twice. And the first time it's with, like, a handsome person who, like... aligns with her values, and so she's kind of like, sort of. And then the second time, it's like a schlubby, like,
journalist
reporter. Which I just the headlines they were talking about, and the way that I was just like, this dude writes for popculture.com.
Womp womp.
So they did lampshade it a little bit, but it struck me that. Okay, there's only two female characters in the entire movie, and the function they serve is to have sex with people and be evil.
Yeah, it doesn't really pass the Bechdel test. Although, it does? I mean, is that exclusively about, like...
No, well, anyway, the Bechdel test is that two women have to talk about something that is not sex.
Yeah, and is there... I don't think there are two women talking...
There's no point in this film where there are two women in the same.
Yeah.
Like, there's actually... and actually, I correct myself one more time, because the British counterpart was also female.
Yes.
So, like, there's plenty of, like, there are some women characters in this movie who are fairly well-rounded and who have no concern. Like, even, you know, his British counterpart is probably the most, like, genuinely moral person that we see in the movie, other than the... I can't remember any of these people's names, but other than the one black soldier, I think Morrissey's his name.
Yeah. Which it's amusing because all of these, I recognize all the British actors.
Yeah.
They're all in TV shows, whether it be Luther, or they're all like basically they're their type. Like they literally, I believe the the Special Forces British black guy.
I'm pretty sure he's Morrissey.
I'm pretty sure he plays that exact same character in Luther.
Sounds about right.
Like, he's a police officer, but he's like SWAT Special Forces. But it's just funny because it's like clearly, and that's something that this whole film, and it's not necessarily a bad thing because I don't know if we get these a lot anymore. Like big enough films, action films that, you know, could do well. I mean, I doubt this is going to do well at the box office. I don't think it has like a massive release.
I'm sure that it will make its money back because I think it was made for $5 million.
Yeah. But that, I mean, that's honestly like, it's part of it's that's something I like. I'm a huge fan of Jackie Chan. I don't really know why, because it's not, one else in his entire genre at all that I like other than, like, Bruce Lee films, but, you know, other than I just have, like, this weird appreciation for him as a filmmaker and
yeah, actually, I mean, there are some people who kind of, they're bigger than their genre. Yeah. I think that Jackie Chan fits into that because he brings a lot to the table.
It's going
to
be really interesting to see whether, assuming this does, you know, decent well, I mean, it's, and also be interesting, like, because it's a film, it's, like, I don't know who this film was made for, like, and I don't say that negatively, I just say, like, because it's a British, there's no American actors in it at all.
I don't think so. No.
Well, at least nobody with an American accent.
Yeah.
Isn't Jackie Chan like
Jackie Chan
first,
is,
and then he's British?
I think he's an American. I think he's a refugee or something.
Yeah.
Because we see him come. But yes, he's an American soldier.
Yeah. So, so there are Chinese people, and then there are British people, and there's no, but like
an Irish people.
And Irish people, obviously, yes. Sorry. But it's interesting that I don't know. I'd be curious on how much of it's being sold in the UK and in Ireland.
Yeah.
Because I can't see it doing well there because it does not portray.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's a good Northern Irish or Irish person in the film. And the Brits are basically all government and military type.
Yeah.
So there's no, like, whatever. And then, so I'm curious on
how... It's really interesting because there's almost an in-dialogue explanation for why the movie probably won't play in the UK.
Yeah.
Because they're talking about how, like, there are basically two kinds of British and English people. There's the people who live through all this stuff and don't want it brought up all the time.
Yeah.
And then there's the people who didn't live through all this stuff and don't get it.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of like, you literally in dialogue explain why this movie probably won't play in, you know.
But so to me, I find it interesting because obviously, you know, at least the read would be then is that this film is made for American and Chinese audiences.
Right.
And so first you have everyone speaks English and no one speaks Chinese. I don't even think there's a subtitle in the film. I don't remember. The two Chinese characters, Jackie Chan and his, and the person who works for
there's
him.
Like a brief.
Is there?
Not a subtitle, but there's a brief bit of like when he goes to leave. I think he says something to her in Mandarin. Like there's like literally one sentence.
But so it's all. I mean, I guess obviously they can dub it and everything like that, and that's not won't be a big thing there, but. Like, I guess maybe it doesn't matter. Like, maybe it's just, like, bad British people, which I guess is a thing that you can sell pretty easily in post-Hong Kong China, which is its own thing. Jackie Chan has very unusual, very kind of politics when it comes to the Chinese government. But I'm reading politically. But... I'm curious on whether the general movie-going population in China have any real strong history of the struggles?
Yeah.
The troubles. I mean, not that the American people necessarily do, but I feel like there's a built-in population. Again, there's a built-in population that definitely knows it.
Yeah.
You know, it's in our zeitgeist, you know, whether it be through Tom Clancy novels or whatever
and at a bare minimum because... the American audiences relate to English and Irish, like, because they all speak English, they're all white, and blah, blah, blah. Like, so we have decades of, like, various media dealing with it so that we all, like, have a... Even though none of us actually understand any of it, a lot, most of us assume that we know what it's all about.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, not that you don't really need to know, have a deep understanding. Yeah. I mean, the film doesn't have really a deep understanding either. I mean, it doesn't go into anything.
No, the closest it does is it does that, like, West Wing thing of teasing that, like, we're not going to explain all of this stuff, but we are going to tell you that if things fall apart, it's going to be really bad.
Okay? Yeah, yeah.
And so it becomes that thing of, like, we're going to assume that either you or that the film knows more than is actually on display. Yeah. Because that there's unspoken consequences.
Yeah. I will say it's nice to have, as we both grew up on, primarily, I think True Lies is probably the first film that I can think of that had non-white terrorists. Because either terrorists were generally Central Asian, or not Central Asian, I'm sorry, like Eastern European, maybe Balkans, but so many were Irish, so many were whatever. So it's kind of nice to have that again. We're back in, we could.
One of the nice things about having the Russian government fuck with our entire electoral system is that now, like, we're right back to that Cold War mentality.
Yeah, it'll be curious on whether the next Bond film is back to, like, full-blown, Soviet counterpoints. I mean, the...
or neo-Nazis.
I mean, exactly, the Mission Impossible films. Yeah. I'd actually love to see Bond punch some Nazis. But I don't know. What did you think overall of the film?
I liked it a lot. I got the general... and again, like, this is probably not intentional, but I really, like, from the word go, I was like, oh, this is kind of like the international, like, the political version of the Limey.
Yeah.
Like, because it very much was, his daughter gets killed, and he goes on this roaring rampage of revenge that is, like, way out of perspective to what actually happened.
Yeah. The thing that's funny... it's spoilers. Shall we break into the spoiler portion? Not that we're way past. I mean, we've done enough spoilers, or
we
should
really,
stay away from.
We haven't really spoiled big things, but let's just say, I'll put it. Yeah. We can make this private when we upload it, and then we can edit a version of it that doesn't. So there will be a spoiler and a non-spoiler version of this. So,
but we won't delve into that yet. Then,
I was going to say you can keep going because we'll cut around.
Yeah, no, because I mean, like it's interesting because they don't really deal with it too much. Is he almost fucks everything up.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, by no fault of his own, but, by complete fault of his own, he almost fucks everything up, but, like, doesn't by, like, the fact that the SWAT team starts running in before he has a chance to, like, fucking murder everyone. Mm-hmm. So that plane would have, well, actually, the plane wouldn't have blown up, but it would have blown up in the thing. And then he ruins, Pierce Bronson's thing. So now the Brits have the Brits had, like, this great person had on the inside of potential the IRA, because now there's, like, oh shit, because now he just left Britain with nobody in the IRA.
Yeah.
And basically an IRA that now has been kind of re-enlivened.
Yeah.
So it's like, wait, it's like almost like, wait, fuck, are they, like, setting up a sequel where he's like, fuck, I have to have to clean up my mess.
I can't imagine that
I just ruined sociopolitical, I just ruined
politics. It makes me wonder, like, it makes me want to read the book and to know whether the original book was much more, like, again, death wishy.
Yeah.
In the sense that, like, I could see, you know, in order to make him more likable and more contemporary, I can see them softening some edges on Jackie Chan's character. Yeah. But I could see that in the book, maybe, like, the philosophy was all of these people are panderers and appeasers, and they don't deserve any of this, so fuck them.
Yeah.
And so then, like, the fact that he basically ruins the truce is, like, well, that's bad, but at the same time, like... it's not the worst.
I mean, there is also the part of it that he definitely... it wasn't... I'm trying to think of something other, maybe other than the death wish. He definitely seemed to want to live through it.
Yeah.
Like, there was no... I mean, he had, you know, again, spoilers. Mm-hmm. But he had... I mean, there's like a... There's a... He has a suicide bomb. I mean, obviously, there's real establishing. There's no... But... The fact... I mean, it's... Obviously, it's Jackie Chan at the end of the day. So, I don't think that... Unless you really wanted to do, like, a hard break, which...
Yeah.
This far into his career, I don't ever see him do it. I mean, there's no reason why he would ever in a million years do it.
I feel like this is, like, the Jackie Chan version of Logan.
Yeah.
This is as close as he'll ever get to that character.
Yeah. But it is interesting because, I mean, he doesn't... I mean, he kills a handful of people.
Yeah.
And kind of the... He sets out, there are people that I'm going to kill. And he doesn't kill... I mean, he has... complete justification and thing to kill all these other people, like all the henchmen. He doesn't kill them. He goes out of his way in endangering his own livelihood to not kill them. I mean, again, which is why it has that like 90s
like
back in the day where it's like, no, I don't
like there was them. there was a bit where they where you thought that he'd killed these two people and then like cut to them hogtied in a corner somewhere and then there's even a line of dialogue sprinkled in later to be like they were really roughed up, but they'll be fine.
Yeah.
And...
Which, I, that's one of the things, like, the... I feel like, again, I mean, I think this is something we say so many times with, like, these films that we end up seeing. Yeah. Like, these, like... I'm trying to remember what the last one was that we... That was, like, very, like, 90s-esque, like, something recently. But I feel like there's a... There's a... Because Jackie Chan is still in... I mean, obviously he just produced this film.
Yeah.
So who knows what the overall thing is. But there's so... It has, like, the... Allowing henchmen to have the... these random dialogue lines, which are almost jokes, but not really jokes. Yeah. And having these, like, weird scenes that aren't necessarily needed of, like... Like, the amount of sighing that Pierce Brosnan...
Yeah, there was a lot of... And it's interesting. There was a lot of,
like...
And this is going to sound like an insult. It's really not. Yeah. There was a lot of this movie that kind of reminded me of the Dolph Lundgren Punisher movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, like, one of the things that they did right in that movie was that every, like, disposable merc had kind of a personality.
Yeah.
Like, you got to the point in this movie where there were probably 8 total, like, Irish gun-running crazy people who, like, had relatively distinct personalities to the point where he would be like, Sean, go do this, and you'd know how Sean was gonna... You know what I mean? Yeah. They actually made it a point that, like, his nephew, like, he's a tracker. He's essentially, like, the young Irish version of Jackie Chan in the sense that they, you know...
Yeah, oh, yeah, and he served in the war, which there's that weird moment where they're by the fire, by the, you know, they're in front of this little campfire... and like they start that dialogue and then there's like, and then he just kind of like cuts him loose. And I feel like there would have been like a good dialogue moment there where you could actually kind of talk out and you could have these two people like maybe it's a turn for both, you know, like I actually thought that moment. I'm like, are they going to like go in a van together and go kill these people? Yeah, because it's like literally like, that's really trusting.
Yeah.
Like, to cut this guy loose that just literally was trying to murder you. Like,
no, I had that same, like there was a lot of weirdness at the very end in terms of how they decided to play everything. Because, like, they could easily have just had Jackie Chan kill a bunch of people and be like, okay, movie over.
Yeah.
But they decided to go with something a little bit more, again, kind of like 80s, 90s, PG 13, you know. And generally it was a good choice. I don't think that the movie would have been better before going the other way. But there was a lot of that. And the other thing that they did was that there's like this big revelation that's not really big to anybody except for the characters. But you know, Pierce Brosnan finds out like some of the things that his wife and his nephew and some of the other people he was in contact with have been doing. Because basically what happens is that Pierce Brosnan starts pushing this rock down a hill and then gets surprised when it rolls too fast for him. That's the plot of this movie. And so, like, he starts finding out all the people who have betrayed him and all the people who are kind of on their own side missions with their own agendas.
Yeah.
And I will say that I was pretty pleased by the disposition of the character of his nephew.
Yeah.
Like, just across the board, like, the way that the character interacted with Jackie Chan, the way that the character, like, the everything about that character was like, okay, I like that they gave him his little, and he has a character arc, but it's weird because it's like the most pointless character arc in the entire movie, because you bring in this character, and I think that what it was that you're supposed to like Jackie Chan and you're supposed to like Pierce Brosnan to a certain extent.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, like, it would be playing against type for either of those people to go and, like, gun down loose ends.
Yeah.
And so you have these other characters who exist in the movie seemingly just to be the guy to pull the trigger on the loose ends.
Yeah, I feel like that's the sort of thing where it's like, if this film would serve, it would have been served better if it had, like, 20% less characters.
Yeah.
Because, again, like, with the henchman thing, like, there's his side henchman who you vaguely recognize. I'm trying to remember that. To the point where I'm like,
he looks like Miguel Ferrer.
Maybe, like, that's who I'm thinking that, like, it is, but it's probably not.
It's not him.
But, like,
he passed away.
Oh, then, is it the guy? I think it's the guy from fucking Game of Thrones. Like,
I've never seen Game of Thrones.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And Michelle cries when I say that. So.
Anyway, but it's too tiring to catch up at this point, seriously. I'm like two seasons behind, and I'm like, I can't deal with the number of characters that I know that die, and I'm like, I'm done. I think I'm done. I may skip to the end and just be like, okay, that's so everything happens? Okay, cool. So everyone's dead at the end.
I just do that. When, I just can't. Every time somebody says skip to the end, I just think of Spaced.
I feel like just because there's, if it was like a tighter film, I think it would have been better. Like, you know, like, I mean, that's one of the great things about Taken is
there's like five characters.
Liam Neeson, his daughter, his wife, and then the guy, like, and then basically like three more people at which. Actually, I mean, he kills like a shit ton of people.
Yes,
but like, there's all, three more people that matter.
Yeah.
This film, like, I mean,
there's Katie Cassidy.
There's a great amount of throughout the whole film. Like, it's like great just to see Jackie Chan be Jackie Chan. I mean, and it's interesting to watch him how in this film they all the fight sequences as opposed to being these like big like movement based things. Like, you know, is it Brooklyn film that he had. I think it's the only Jackie Chan film other than this one I saw in theaters.
Rumble in the Bronx.
Thank you. But not Brooklyn. But like where he's like jumping. I mean, like there's a lot of that, but he's like mainly like falling. like out of things and doing well, and doing it well, but like falling. Yeah. But like all the really good fight sequences are super tight. Like they're in small Irish cottages and stuff like that, which is great. And even the in the forest fight sequences, they're like in a there's like a bramble of like, you know, of really an older man in this film.
Yeah, exactly.
He in fact plays that. I mean, like, which is actually something I enjoy. Like the way, one of the ways he just gets in places, he basically plays like the Chinese takeout guy.
Yeah.
Like just head down and like shoulders. And he does that. Like it's just humorous because, which is again, this confusing thing where like, I feel like I have to watch it again. Obviously once it comes out on video, watch it again and see how, now that I've seen it once, whether, because I'm laughing at like the fight sequences because it's Jackie Chan. Like I feel like if it wasn't Jackie Chan, Jet Li, throw in Jet Li in there, just another action star, I don't think I would laugh at it.
No.
Because I mean, it's, he definitely has the like shake, but like it's clear. It's like, well, that's what he's been doing for 40 years now. So like, you're not going to change the way that he, when he gets hit in the head, like that's the way he reacts. But
I will say this has a very John McClane kind of vibe to it at certain points. Like there are certain things where he's, where it's just like, that's not physically possible. Okay.
I do. I mean, he is like, I like how it's one thing I've always, all my favorite action stars are like, I'm tired. Just they're exhausted. Like John, you have John McClane, you have Liam Neeson in Taken, you have
Unforgiven.
Lethal Weapon. Like, I mean, literally, I'm too old for this shit. Yeah. Like, Unforgiven. I'm just, I don't want to deal with this anymore.
You know what? You know what would be a great compliment to this movie? If you see The Foreigner and you enjoy it, or if you see the trailer, you don't want to go to the movies and you think that you would dig this movie. I mean, obviously, the Limey was fantastic.
Yeah.
There's a Death Wish remake that looks terrible. But yeah.
Sorry.
But you should definitely see The Three Burials of Melquiades Estrada.
Yeah.
Which again, like, very much is a, like, I don't want to be doing this. Why did you make me do this, you asshole? But also, it has the same kind of comically over the top thing that this and the Limey do, where it's just like, this is the hill you're going to die on? Okay. And this one a little bit less so, because, like, there's a
payback.
Sense, yes, that's, payback. Yes. There you go.
That's like the perfect where it's like,
yeah.
Really? Like, and also the, like, $60,000, like, that's all I can think of, like, where it's just like, just the, and like, and I love his, like, persistence, yeah, where it's like, there's this little slip of paper that says names,
yeah,
like, it's just, because he barely, I mean, what's he say, like, there's probably 25 lines of dialogue from him, like,
maybe a little bit more than that, because, like, there's a couple of scenes where he has real, like, interactions with Pierce Brosnan.
Yeah, that's true.
But, like, yeah, in general, he's very quiet and very stoic, and basically he's just kind of going about his business and doing his thing.
Yeah.
And it's funny because you never lose sight of how awful, like, the things are that are going on and how high the stakes are.
Yeah.
Especially because they do bring in the geopolitics of it. And so it's not the Limey, really, because you have this kind of looming threat of civil war.
Yeah.
But at the same time, even with the stakes being high, just the way that, like, the way that it's played, it balances really nicely, where it's like, we're going to play the absurdity of the fact that he's basically, like, going on this crazy rampage because nobody's cooperating with his attempt to get the names.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it doesn't downplay the significance of, like, he's getting the names because they killed his daughter.
Yeah. There is that edge too, which, you know, the Limey has, because no one really gives a shit. And because they're also convinced that she just killed herself. I forget, was it killed herself? Or she was drunk and she just drove out the road.
Yeah, that was.
But, like, she's like, oh no, she would have never done that. She was responsible. But, like, the people are actually working hard to try to get his people. It's just that, like, and it's funny because it's not even like, oh, they won't go far enough, but they will do it. No, they fucking go far enough. I mean, in the end of the film, they really go far enough.
Yeah,
like, literally bringing out torture devices, shit like that. But it's like, so it's funny. It's like, I feel like it's not necessarily needed. Like, there's like, this is such, but that, I think actually.
And that's actually,
it's such a thing because, like, not only because he fucks up so many things, like, for the larger geopolitics, like, he genuinely ruins, like, some big issues that, like, the Brits are going to be like, oh, motherfucker. Which is weird. The ending is kind of weird then. But I guess maybe they don't know that yet or something like that. But it's funny because it's such a personal and kind of selfish, in a way, quest.
No, it definitely is. And that's one of the things that's really interesting is the fact that if you strip him out of this...
Yeah.
It would play out slightly differently, but not that much.
Yeah.
Like, it really is, like, he's got his little mission. But if you take him out of this movie, I think it plays out almost exactly the same. Because, like, most of the big, like, geopolitical things that happen and, like, the actual, like, crime solving happens by, like, the police and the anti-terrorism units.
They're already doing it. He just happens to find out the info at the same time. I mean, is there a moment in the film... I'm trying to think if there is anything at all.
I think
that he
pushes
forward.
Yes, because when he bombs the carriage house, it sends Pierce Brosnan's wife to London.
Oh yeah,
and
yeah.
from there, people are able to connect dots to what she's up to and what the other guy's up to. But
Bronson makes those connections. I mean, they make the connection. The police don't make those connections.
No,
his IRA buddies do.
Yeah.
And he doesn't... the police never know any of that info.
But
they were able to push it. Yeah, okay, yeah. So, I feel like...
It's a weird... It's also... you could also make the argument that, like, that bus bombing is kind of Jackie Chan's fault, because if she hadn't had, like, an excuse to run away to the city to have her affair, then there's she doesn't find out about the code word thing.
Yeah.
And so it's almost like, okay, the fact that this
happened... Well, the bus bombing would have happened, but they would have been able to find him then. Yeah. So really, it would have still happened. So that's such an interesting thing, because I can't think of another action film where everything would have played out the same if you remove the main character from the film.
It really is. It's interesting.
Which actually kind of almost makes it either... It's, again, you get to have this massive decision where... Either that makes the film very, very interesting or really fucking stupid.
Yeah.
Like, literally the... What? I mean, you think, Die Hard. Like, take John McClane out of it.
Everybody dies.
Yeah. Like, Taken. I guess his child is sold into sex slavery.
Yeah.
Like, but...
Like, yeah, but that's it's a good point. And it's funny, because I made this point, and you're helping me see the humor in it.
Which, again, we should, as we say, we're at 41 minutes now, so we probably should start wrapping up, considering we're just sitting in Wegmans parking lot right now. And that's such a good, I think it's such a good ending. But, I mean, it is, if you're a fan, which I think this is, like, perfect for a Mold City video podcast, because, you know, if you're a fan, like, this is a film that... I would love if it's on, like, in 5 years.
Yeah.
If cable still exists in 5 years. If when this is on Netflix, like, this is one that I'm like,
I'll turn it on in the back of our Vizzy glasses.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, like, I'll turn this one on.
Yeah.
It'll be good, and I'll be like, I'm happy watching this.
Yeah.
I'm happy why it's not even a 2 o'clock in the morning turn on film.
Yeah.
Oh, it's on cable. This is a, like, oh,
I would actually go out of my way to turn this on again.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's solidly good. I doubt it'll get a director's cut, which I think it might. Whatever director's cut means, because I don't see...
It would be interesting to see if they do anything like that.
Yeah.
I mean...
Because there's, like, those random edits that...
Yeah.
I'm curious on whether, because I really feel like this is a film that has definitely, like... You know what I'd really like to see is the Chinese version of this film. Because I feel like there's clearly... There has to be more dialogue, or it has to be more kind of either title cards or explainers or something in this card.
Actually, I will say that's... Of all the things in this movie that is a little clunky...
Yeah.
Like, there is just a shit ton of expository dialogue.
Yeah.
And it's like, you have all this stuff where, like, this woman is having an affair... with somebody that she's known his whole life.
Yeah.
And she's, like, dumping her motivation for betraying her husband.
Yeah.
And it's like, wait, shouldn't he know this already?
Yeah.
Like, he's known you his entire life, and you're fucking... Doesn't it seem like...
That's a scene that, like, if... Yeah, nothing... Like, that scene, like, it was just... I guess it was needed... Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe. I mean, although it may actually be more surprising, because, like, I feel like that literally should have been at a different point in the film. Like,
I think, you know, here's the thing.
There should have been a revelation
that
this happened, and then that's a great cell phone call they have between each other, because they're in two different spots.
Yeah.
And then he realizes that he fucked her over for that reason and something like that. As opposed to these weird,
I think it's
go-between.
It's a weird thing, because I think I was thinking about it a little bit. Mm-hmm. If you cut that scene,
because
I think it would have been more narratively satisfying to not have that spoiler, because, like, you can kind of see it unfold in real time when you see that scene, and then you see where it goes after.
Yeah.
But I do think that if you remove that scene, I think that the later revelation that, like, oh, these two were sleeping together. Oh, and by the way, this is how she got to know it. And this is, like, it would have been a whole lot of, like, well, that's super convenient.
Yeah.
So, like, seeing the scene, it set up, like, it built that into the structure of the movie in such a way that it no longer felt, like, super convenient for the plot. It's like that was just something that happened.
Yeah.
So it's weird, because I think that you're right. I think it could have been handled better.
Yeah.
But I don't know exactly how, because
it just didn't have the like, I felt like that was a very, because there's, like, this weird kind of, like, Macbeth sort of stuff going on around here like where she was clearly pushing him to be like the badass motherfucker that he used to be. Like that's what she fell in love with.
Yeah.
And so that's why she's with this guy, with the younger guy who's who, and she's trying to get him to be like, look at you can take over for him. And and it's very like, you know, here, you know,
ignoring the reality that like
it's not how
Pierce Brosnan is an elected official.
Yeah.
You can't just like kill him and take his place.
He's an elected official, but he's the head of the IRA. Whatever Lucian crew,
whatever,
where it's like I'm not really quite sure that exists, but because I also like they're all in like this boardroom, and I'm like,
he's like a mob boss, who just happens to be in charge.
But he's also like, he's it's weird because it's like clearly he's a bit of a figurehead, and but like they're listening, like I mean.
I think that what it is he's a figurehead, but he's a figurehead that the British approve of, and the British can bring force to bear. And so even though he doesn't seem to have a lot of real power, he's backed by real power.
And I mean, again, like that to me kind of goes back to the, like, if there's 20% less characters, we could have built, like, I would have liked to have seen a little bit more than the weird flashbacks of Jackie Chan's past.
Yeah, I actually, that's another, it's kind of like the thing that we were talking about with the weird edits where they didn't do it enough to establish it as part of the movie. Yeah. And so whenever they come in, it's odd.
Yeah.
I felt the same way about that flashback. It's like, we saw 70 seconds of flashback, and it's just like that if you have that little flashback, it doesn't feel like it's part of the
story. But it wasn't, I mean, the problem, if it was just 70, if it was like, you know, the same amount of time that it took up, the problem was it wasn't one scene. It was him covering up the, like, it was this weird fight thing. Like, I felt like you needed to have a solid scene where you see his, and this is established, like, in the first 20 minutes of the film. His kids are taken away. His wife gets killed. And he survives the one thing, and then that's it. And then then that's fine, and you're there. And that kind of established everything. But it was these flashes of, like, clearly they, there's probably a 20-minute, felt like there's, like, clearly, like, a 20-minute sequence. Again, and I feel like this is this weird, I feel like Jackie Chan must have had more control over this film than a normal, like, action star would have. Even one that, like, even like a Brad Pitt who produces his own films, because it's no, it, like, he films just everything. Like, he films, like, Terrence Malick level shit. And then, at least that's my understanding of what he does. And then they cut down the, like, the best fight scenes. Like, that whole boat scene felt like a 10-minute sequence that they filmed. And they're like, fuck it, 70 seconds.
And I will say, as much as I don't want to see a sequel to this movie. Like, I really enjoyed this movie, but I think it should stand on its own. That said, I think that one of the things that they do is this flashback, which comes, like, 80 minutes into a 100-minute movie, establishes that his daughters didn't actually die, or that, you know, it's like,
well, the weird thing is, like, kidnapped, raped, like,
presumed dead is
presumed dead, which is like, I'm like, wait, how did he know that they were raped? Because all that we see in the sequence is literally get pulled away, and it's like Thai pirates, so I assume that they must just assume it's sex slavery, whatever thing, or pirates, the rape. But there's that weird thing. I don't know. Like,
It definitely, like, the fact that was there, it was like, this is just, is this the PG-13 version of what happened in this, you know? But yeah, so that to me, and you seem to disagree, and that's fine, but, like, I felt like there were certain things that the director did that he didn't do enough to make it feel at home in the movie. And so those scenes stick out, and you're just like, I wanted more of that, because otherwise...
Well, no, I'm saying, like, I wanted one scene as opposed to the flashes, because I feel like that might have been enough for his flashback of what happened to his kids and his family. As opposed to the flashes of, like, a clearly a 5-minute, 10-minute scene. I'm definitely, like, that's what I'm saying, like, where I wish that there was 20% less characters, so we could develop, like, I would like to develop
the ones
Pierce Bronson, Jackie Chan, and maybe the, like, wife, nephew thing, and kind of everybody else. I don't really give a shit. Like, the actual bombers, they don't, you don't really need to have them, even though you spend a little bit of time with them in this weird, like, Airbnb thing they got going on there.
Yeah, I mean, the one, I mean, there is one bomber who, like, really matters in terms of the plot.
Yeah.
And then there's one bomber who matters in terms of, like, oh, this is the person who... But here's the weird thing about the way that they like, that last big fight where everybody gets killed is, like, he clearly, like, intentionally targets everybody else so that he can save the guy who killed his daughter for last.
Mm-hmm.
And then they do nothing with it.
Yeah.
It's just, like... That guy takes slightly longer to kill, and I have to do it with my hands.
Yeah.
And
I will say that's, like, it's throughout this entire film, like, the satisfaction is of with Jackie Chan is, you know, he kills people with his hand. He doesn't, he doesn't use guns. I mean, he continually throughout the movie, he only uses guns to literally, like, get someone to talk and, like, hold them down sort of thing. And, and always, I mean, throughout all of his films, you know, any film that he's ever really in, he throws away the gun the moment he can, even if he could use it to stop the fight.
Yeah.
No, he's not, he doesn't use guns. It's, you know, it's the Jean-Claude Van Damme, Steven Seagal difference, which is why I always like Van Damme as opposed to Steven Seagal. He didn't use guns. Like, he specifically always threw guns away. Which is the martial art, which is like, you know, Bruce Lee never used gun. I mean, I don't remember any films, but in this end sequence, and obviously spoiler as fuck, he comes in with a fucking machine gun, which also is kind of, is a little disappointing considering, I mean, I guess he has access to it because of the IRA and stuff like that, like must have gotten guns from them. But like, that's one reason why I like British action films so much is that there's no guns. Because guns are really difficult to get, fucking get a hold of. And it's something, again, that, like, I always feel like when American other directors, non-British directors, make films that are about British action stuff, they kind of forget. Because in America, there's just no question about having guns.
Yeah, I feel like Campbell's British.
I mean, maybe it's... Maybe it's the Chinese end of thing, but it's just one of those very confusing.
I mean,
things.
And it's also it could very well be that this movie was originally set like in the United States and blah blah. I don't know.
It could literally just be it's the IRA. They have guns, and we're gonna just let that go. But it's to me, it's disappointing because I would really, when they're setting up that end scene there, I really wanted to see him like walk in and fucking just beat the living shit out of all of them because it's. It's like, what, it would have been, what is there, five of them? Five of them. So it's literally six guys in a smallish, well, I mean, maybe not smallish, but a decent, an apartment that he literally could have, like, used. I mean, one thing that he does is he literally uses the scenery to fight, and that's how he always does. I mean, like, he throws a chair at some guy's leg, you know, whatever, and, like, that end scene, he just, like... Ineffectively, too. That's the problem, is, like, if he just ended the film with, like, fucking blood, then I'd have been like, okay. Like, it's Death Wish. It's the, it's whatever. But the fact that it was this combo of things, when I'm like, I want to see one or the other. I want to see him break character and just, like, bloodlust revenge on these people that he specifically has decided deserve it. Or him to kill them with his hands.
Which it's funny because the whole movie is about getting revenge on these people, and he eventually does. But at the same time, I feel like there is an element of Pierce Brosnan is much more targeted. he much more is like, no, fuck that guy in particular than anybody else in the movie.
The amount of times that after he deals, Jackie Chan and Pierce Brosnan have a scene together, and Pierce Brosnan, by the way, like, we didn't talk about this, what the fuck is the deal with the drinking?
Yeah.
Everyone in this film is an alcoholic. Like, there is almost no scene where... Like, and even the people that weren't drinking get offered whiskey.
Yeah.
Like, so, like, Pierce Brosnan never has some, doesn't have some sort of alcohol in his hand. And literally the one of the female bomber
yeah. woman.
She walks into the scene, like her one fucking scene, yeah, she immediately yeah. goes to the fridge, boom, like makes a big scene out of popping off the beer cap,
yeah.
which I get is part of her like, oh my God, I just had to like yeah. suck this guy's dick. It's disgusting.
But even beyond that, it yeah. was still like, you saw that earlier because yeah. like when she picks that dude up, yeah. there's the thing of her being like,
yes,
you're yeah. drinking a sissy drink, have some real whiskey. Yeah. And then she orders two whiskeys and dumps them both into her glass and dumps them down her gullet.
Which she also, by the way, like, you got to order a real whiskey, and then she orders Jameson. And I'm
yeah.
like, yeah, anyway.
But, which, single barrel?
So, single malt.
Or single malt, sorry.
Which.
Yeah. But yeah. Anyway. Yeah. I like Jameson, but yeah. like, yeah, I don't know that there's anybody who's like, you gotta order a real whiskey.
I'm just gonna say, especially the Northern Irish really aren't, it's not a Jameson thing, yeah. especially considering it's owned by the British now. Like, it literally, again, like, there's a lot of those edges yeah. where it's like, it's written by someone who once watched a movie where Irish people are in.
Yeah.
Or read a book of Irish stereotypes.
I know. I kind of feel like that's the big thing, is that it's literally just like,
yeah.
hey, there's Irish people. Should they have whiskey?
Yeah. They should always yeah. have whiskey. On the other hand, you know, I do enjoy the, because, I mean, how many well-developed Arab terrorists do we have?
That's true.
You're like, wait, they should be praying? They don't have pork? And what else?
Yeah.
They say God. Yeah. They say Allah Akbar, and those are the three things we know about them, and that's yeah. all we need to know. But it is, yeah. Anyway, I suppose we should probably wrap up.
Yeah, wrap up again.
56, but.
But yeah, definitely go see it. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It's a movie that probably, I don't think everybody would like this movie that much. I think this is a movie that's kind of an acquired taste, yeah. because it's deliberate, and there's elements of the kind of ridiculous.
Yeah.
But certainly, if you can't see it in theaters, or if you don't want to drop $12 on it or whatever,
yeah.
it's the kind of thing that will definitely be worth checking out when it comes to, like, streaming,
yeah.
whether you can get it on Netflix or whether you got to pay for it.
Yeah.
Like, at a bare minimum, when it comes to, like, Amazon and things, like, it'll definitely be worth $4.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, it's definitely worth saying. I mean, if you're, I think it's enough Jackie Chan that, and it's not his usual American yeah, terribleness, no. even though we're going to be getting that, I guess, soon, because I guess we needed another fucking
yeah. Apparently Chris Tucker needs money, so.
Yeah, that's literally, I believe, the reason why,
like, oh yeah, absolutely.
No, I mean, like, people have talked to me like, no, Chris Tucker needs
he's in trouble with the IRS, I guess.
Yeah, of course.
So
yeah.
Jackie Chan was like, well, we can do Rush Hour 4.
But he doesn't have the Wesley Snipes attempt at an excuse where, like, I don't believe in paying taxes.
No, it's
even though I have no establishment of ever talking about that. No, he just had a lot of money, and then he stopped having money because everybody got really tired of him.
Yeah.
And I believe that's understandable, even though, whatever. It's enough Jackie Chan that you'll like it. You know, I mean, I think that the trailers really try to buzz, because I read a review that just trashed the film.
Yeah.
And trashed Jackie Chan in it, where it's like, this was clearly his serious attempt at a turn. I don't think it was. I think it was him trying to do something a little bit different.
Yeah.
In an audience, which is something that he's doing now.
Yeah.
He's trying, not only is he so much more, I think obviously he's always produced.
Yeah.
But like, it's clearly stepping back and like.
Yeah. I mean, I think too that you get to a certain point where you can't do the kind of roles that he's done his whole career
yeah.
anymore.
Yeah.
And so, like, this movie, it felt like Mr. Miyagi goes to war.
Yeah.
Like, it very much was, I am, like, the stereotype of a senior citizen, yeah. Asian guy.
Yeah.
Like, right down to wearing, like, the clothes that yeah, he wears. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, he owns a Chinese takeaway
exactly.
stop, it looks like. I mean, yeah. like, again, I think Logan is, like, Israeli. Yeah. It's his Logan. Just not as dark
it's Jackie Chan.
Yeah, yeah,
it'll
yeah.
never be that dark. Yeah.
yeah.
But yeah, definitely worth checking out.
I agree. Yeah.
And if you like any of the many things that we've compared this to, you'll probably enjoy it.
Yeah. Don't expect his, it's not Logan in the way that it's like,
no, it's not like just, he's going to get an Oscar for this.
Yeah. Yeah. There's no Oscar noms here, across the board, unfortunately. Yeah. But I mean, especially Pierce Bronson, with his So, like, it just, anyway, when you see the film, you'll get what I'm talking about. But it, yeah, I don't know, like, if you're a really big Jackie Chan film, or if the trailer really gets you, then mm-hmm. yeah, go see it in the film, go see it in the movie theaters. If not, I'm sure give it 6 months and it'll be yeah. available
probably
on whatever.
Three.
Yeah, can't probably
imagine.
Not. It'll, I forgot that their turnaround doesn't yeah, exist anymore. Well,
and
so like
and
3 months.
The other thing
yeah.
is that this is the kind of movie I think yeah. it'll have like a 3 week theatrical
yeah, yeah,
window.
Yeah.
So you figure.
Yeah. So I mean, it's yeah. I recommend it whether you watch it in theaters. It doesn't need to be seen in theaters.
No,
it's
really
not
doesn't.
Like it's not like his other film, which I really wish I saw, the one with John Cusack, which I'm blanking
yeah,
on the title
I can't
of, which I really wish I saw in theaters because it's a really big film.
Yeah.
But which I also recommend. We'll talk about that too because it's actually up on it's on HBO now.
Nice.
Which The Great Wall is too, but let's not talk about The Great Wall. And anyway, but yeah, highly recommended. Check it out.
All right, and we'll be back soon, I'm sure.
Yes.